All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. October the 28th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope everyone is having an amazing day. We got the big Sea Witch Festival parade today down in the town of Rehoboth. All of the characters will be out today. The big parade, I will not be attending it. Too many people for Tom. It is going to be crazy down there, but it's a season. You know, it's Halloween, and everybody loves Halloween. I have been struggling with a cold for like 3 weeks, and physically, I feel pretty good. I paddled on Wednesday out. We did 9 miles out in the, or no, we did 8 miles out in the ocean. Felt good physically, but nasally, it's terrible. And I've tried to do this podcast probably 10 times, and I think I got one out just because I just can't stand the way it sounds. So that's what I've been working on, but I am starting to feel better. I know that this cold is going around. I just cut a guy's hair. He's like, yeah, I've had this cold for 3 weeks. And I'm like, yeah, me too. And but I do feel like I'm on the mend, and I'm ready to get back. I miss doing the podcast. I've tried to do it a few times. Been doing a lot of great stuff. Still going to a lot of meetings. Talked a bit. That's the tough part, is because I start a podcast and I forget, you know, what I've talked about, what I haven't talked about. But you know, the last couple of weeks been a lot of step stuff, fourth and fifth step, great stuff, and. Yeah, I'm ready to get back to trying to do this podcast on a regular basis. I just had to start feeling, you know, better. Rusted and weathered. That's how I feel. Beat up. But we must, the show must go on. And so here I am. I really want to try to get, I'm going to push through. So whatever comes out, this is it. We're going to get through it. But you know, some of the things that I've been thinking about, I saw this great interview with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson has really come full circle from the guy that I grew up with, right? Mike Tyson that I grew up with, beating the hell out of everybody. And today he's, you know, he's obviously in the marijuana game. He sells a lot of that marijuana and he grows it and he's got a business and, you know, good for him, whatever. But he's really turned into this sweet guy, right? And he talks about this world of fear. And, you know, it's being sober for a while, working a program, diving into these steps, really peeling back all the tough stuff, what we end up with is just that, fear. It says it in the beginning of the book. This was all started from fear. I've talked about it before. I'm sure I'll talk about it again. You can only talk about so many things when it comes to recovery. You can only put on so much frosting when you got to get down to the core of it. And the core of it is fear. What are we not getting? And, you know, it says it in the book. This is how this all started. And I didn't remember it starting that way. My remembrance of it was fun, a lot of fun. And, you know, but when I peeled it back and I looked into it and sort of did a fourth step on it, I realized, you know, this was me afraid that somebody else wouldn't like me if I didn't participate in what they were suggesting. Very innocent at the time, but I had to clarify that, right? This started because of fear. And what I've learned, and I hope that, you know, everybody's journey is different, but what I've learned from doing this for a long time is that this is a fear problem. You know, the 12 steps of any program more than likely teach us how to remove fear, right? We admit, right? We build a relationship with the higher power, right? We learn to turn things over, right? What are we afraid of? Relationship with the higher power. If I was going to take the top card off the deck, I would say going to hell, right? That would always be my fear of sort of that relationship with the higher power. And this is also coming from a self-centered person's point of view, right? Because when you're a self-centered person like me, if something or someone or something is in my life, it's usually because I want something. I want something from this person. And an early relationship with the higher power or God, right? It was only motivated because I wanted something out of it. I wanted God to give me something, right? Girlfriend, money, fame, fortune, whatever it is that God was giving out, I wanted it. And when I didn't get it, I lost my relationship with God. I just didn't, just like whether it was Mike, Bill, Fran, Betty, God, if I didn't get anything from any of these people, the relationship was over. That person was not working for me, not giving me what I needed. Move on to the next person. And God fell into that pile. But I had to start understanding that the guy, the child, right, the immature kid that created this God in his head didn't have all the facts, right? And, you know, I was at a meeting the other day, and it was a great meeting, guys shared, and then the conversation came up of higher power. And I listened to about three different people tell, you know, the group, basically, I don't believe in God, right? I haven't gotten to that point. So what I like to do is call it, you know, G-O-D, good orderly direction, right? Fine. They create a whole lot of different names for God. And it feels like a lot of people are like, a lot like I am, and we created this picture of what God's supposed to be, and it hasn't worked out. And so we just aren't really ready. I know I'm not, or wasn't, really to throw both feet into the party because I didn't want to be disappointed. But what I, you know, and of course I shared at the meeting, and you know, my thought is, you know, if I work these steps, which I've done thoroughly with the sponsor, and I've worked them with sponsees, right? And I've evolved to this place where, for me, what my relationship with the higher power really is. And the one thing I've learned is, having worked all these steps and gotten to this point, what you think of me and my relationship with the higher power isn't really that important, right? Because I know the relationship I have with the higher power. And somewhere down the line, I felt like, or I've told myself that a higher power was some figment. And what I'm starting to believe is that it is just another level of being a human, right? I feel like if you aren't able to stay in the moment, try to stay centered on the beam, right? Not try to be too much higher power or too much lower power. Try to have a balance between self and humility that's healthy, right? A higher power isn't important. It isn't important that you know what my higher power is. I said that in the meeting the other day, and I still believe it. I believe that God is everything. God is love. The only thing that stops me from having a relationship with God is fear. Fear, fear, fear. And when I came to this program, I thought these were the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they are. But these steps don't get us off alcohol. These steps realign our spiritual, or at least my spiritual path, a potential path, right? Hopes, you know, helps me look back at the relationship that I had created early on in my life of what I thought it was with a God, and I've sort of had to redefine it, right? I don't believe that there's a God in the clouds. I don't believe that there's a higher power, right? I believe that what there is good and evil, right? And I know that sounds crazy, but I feel like that's what it is. And no, we love to talk about God, but no one says anything about the devil, right? And I said this before, and I don't want to sound like a nutcase, but it's just that simple, right? If I am serving self, there's probably some fear in it, right? You can't be self-centered and have a relationship. It's like you have to walk through the door to get to the other side. And if I'm not free of fear, I can't open the door. It really, I guess what I'm figuring out is this is about fear. You know, the 12 steps of this program or a program are really about fear. And the fourth and the fifth step is where we really start digging into it. And it's just such a gift. And, you know, I remember when I first came into the program and I heard that, you know, oh, the fourth step. There's a fourth step. Oh, you're going to do your fourth step? Oh, the fourth step. It was like this fear-mongering inside of meetings about the fourth step. And I just think it's a bad foot to get off on because then we're worried about it. It's like the fourth step is basically, for a person like myself who comes in as a victim of alcoholism, the fourth step is basically me writing down all the bad things about me. Right? That's what a self-centered person, this is against me. This is about pointing out all of my bad flaws, right? Like everybody gives a fuck. They don't, right? This is about me learning who I am and why I do things. You know, the guy that shared the other night, he was basically, I think the topic ended up being, it wasn't surrender. It was, it wasn't willingness. It was openness, being open. And I think, you know, it's a great topic. We do have to be open, but you know, what I said is it's just a lot of four step stuff, right? Everything I do in my life is a bit, I sort of do a quick four step on it, right? What's my motivation? What's behind it? What am I hoping for? What's the chances? You know, is this healthy for me? Is this spiritually healthy? Am I going to be full of fear, right? And, you know, if we work these steps and we have a good, our feet are planted good in the, or well in the program, we can start to learn and we can start to identify. It's just real quick, you know, something going on. Like, oh, hey, we're starting a flag football league. Okay, yeah, oh, I want to do that. Let's understand why, Tom. Because you want to be awesome, right? You want people to see you being awesome. But the reality is that I'm not a footballer, right? I'm not an athlete like that. I remember, and I use that as an example because I remember when I first moved to Delaware and I took this job over at the country club, and my boss, he's like, and I really admired my boss, right? Because I was in such a low place, I was at such a bottom that anybody around me that was doing good stuff, I just thought was fantastic. Like, look at this guy; he's fucking an assistant superintendent. He's got a wife, he's got a baby, he's, you know, he's awesome. And he asked me, hey, you want to come play flag football in a flag football league? I smoked cigarettes, right? I wasn't a year out of being a complete speed addict, complete drunk. I don't even know. I may have even been drinking back then when he asked me to do this. But I was like, he asked me, right? My ego, right? My pride. Ooh, he's noticed me. He must see something, right? And so I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Heck yeah, I'm in. I was so bad. I pulled my hamstring like on the first two steps. I had no business being out there, right? And then I sort of leave flag football like, fuck that. That's a stupid sport, right? No, I should have been like, hey, Tom, let's be honest here. You're not an athlete. You know, you just came out of San Diego doing a lot of dumb stuff, and none of it involved running, right? I should have been honest with myself. But what was my fear? I was afraid that my boss wouldn't like me. Or maybe I thought that I would move up farther in the ranks of the business if I participated, right? And that's what's that set up for, a resentment, because it never works out, right? You never move up. It's like the guy that used to bring the coffee creamer to the meeting, and he's like, you know, he was new, and he's like, I'm gonna bring creamer, and his commitment was making coffee. He decided to bring creamer, and then he decided to bring the cookies, and then he started to bring assortment of cookies, and then people stopped thanking him. You know, the first time, hey man, great, thanks for the creamer, that's awesome, but excuse me. But the problem is that nobody gives a fuck. But in his world, this is the, you know, when we start digging out of that hole, anything that we start doing that helps other people just feels like an amazing feat, right? So he's like making the cookies, and he's double making different varieties. And then he started having expectations. You know, he expected people to thank him and recognize him and his wife for all the hard work that they were doing as far as the cookies. And it didn't happen. And so what happens? He ended up getting a resentment. Then he didn't come back to the meeting. Oops, right? But this is about drinking, right? This is supposed to be about drinking. And it isn't. This is about fear. This is about self-centered fear and living a life of self. This is, like I've always said, I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. And I can't drink, right? And I can't do drugs, and I can't overeat. There's a lot of things I can't do. But the self is the part that I have to address. And when I am that person in that place, there is no relationship with a higher power. There is no magical man that comes down from the mountain. There is absolute separation, and it's 100 miles wide because you only are thinking of yourself. Once we start to put the alcohol down and the drugs down, and we start to work a program, and we start to see other men and women being examples to us, we start to learn, but it takes time. I think it takes a lot of time just to figure it out that this isn't even about alcohol, right? This isn't about alcohol. This program did not get me sober. This program, these steps taught me what I am as a human, what I'm capable of, and where I've really fallen short. And what I've fallen short of is not thinking of myself, you know? But I think it's natural. I think it's part of our system. And listen, we can't be perfect. I've worked these steps so many times. I'm still self-centered. I still see it. I still, you know, I've been moping around, sick, right? Having an attitude. I've been sort of drawing into myself. I've been isolating. I've been doing all the bad things that I shouldn't do. And it's just because I haven't felt well. And when you don't feel well, you know, you get a little crazy. So it's been a little bit rough, but the fact is I'm starting to feel better. I've been still going to a lot of meetings. It was a great meeting the other night. It was a great reminder. You know, this is about managing fear. And the better we manage fear, the better that I can identify what's behind it, the sooner I start to have a relationship with a higher power. Listen, I can have a day where I'm having a great relationship with love, right? I'm free of fear. Right. And then all of a sudden something comes along and all of a sudden I'm full of fear. That relationship with the higher power at that moment is over. Right. Because now self has gotten involved and self's like, what's this mean? What am I not getting? Right. Just recently I've had people, you know, call and say, yeah, I've been sick. I'm not going to be able to make my appointment. Fuck them. Right. I get all pissed. And it's exactly what we asked them to do. Why? Because I'm not going to get paid. Right. I'm here. I took my time. Why didn't you take your time? It's crazy. And so it doesn't matter. That's why it's important that I remember that it's one day at a time. And you know, it's funny. The other day I said to myself, Tom, you can start your day over today, you know, at any time, because I wasn't having a good day. And I haven't been having a good days lately. And last night, you know, and that's it, part of it can be from relationships. You know, when I don't feel well, you know, my wife and I aren't talking as much. I feel like we get a little farther apart. And then all of a sudden you start having resentments and you start, you know, bickering at one another. And, you know, last night we were able to, you know, go out. We went out to dinner. kind of reconnected a bit, and we ran into my dad and my brother, and it was just really, really cool. Just so grateful. I mean, that's a whole nother thing, you know, my father. He's just such an awesome guy, and it was really cool last night because we went and ate out. We went to Outback, and it was very good. And I know my brother takes my dad to Outback when my brother comes down to take care of him for the weekend. And so I had talked to my dad earlier, and I said we were going to maybe go. He's like, well, let me know, and we'll meet up. And I was like, well, I don't want to do that. I mean, I think the point was her and I needed to go out, right? My dad's been around a lot. So I was like, all right, yeah, I'll let you know. But I didn't call him. So we got there and we ate. And then we were getting ready to leave. And I see my brother. And I'm like, hey, and there's my dad. And so we ended up going around and sitting with them for a bit. And you could just see, you know, the happiness in my dad. It was so funny. We had this great waitress. We're getting close to Halloween, so they're all dressed up, and we were laughing with her because she looked like Winnie the Pooh, but she had a pouch, and I think Winnie the Pooh is a bear, right? But it was kind of like Tigger, bear, kangaroo, I don't know, but we were laughing about it. And so when I came around the wall there, this waitress is sitting in the booth with my dad, and I'm like, are you cheating? I go, are you hanging out with the waitresses? You know, and my dad's laughing. You know, my dad's old. And he's, oh. But you just, the smile on his face, the freedom of fear, right? My dad, you know, luckily my brother and I and my wife and the kids are all in my dad's life. And that takes away some of the fear, right? Because I can tell you, just at my age, you know, I still have a little pocket of fear about, you know, being alone in my old age, you know, like, don't piss in all the people off, Tom, so that you still have some people around at the end. And I think that makes my dad happy to know, because, you know, my brother was there, I was there, Christine was there, and he is just, and my wife's like, are you cheating on me? And he's like, what? And it's just really funny. It's just all from being sober, right? All that's from being off alcohol. But finding the peace and a good foundation so that we don't go back and search for alcohol, that's where the steps come in. That's where we find that serenity. And let me see. I want to read the daily reflections and then see what we got here. Daily reflections. Yeah, I don't know if anybody even cares, but I really have been trying to do this podcast. I enjoy doing this podcast. And yeah, I've just been struggling. So thanks for being patient. Not that, you know, you wouldn't have been, but all right, let's see. An unbroken tradition, October the 28th. We conceive the survival and spread of Alcoholics Anonymous to be something of far greater importance than the weight we could collectively throw back on any other cause. I'm going to read that again. We conceive the survival and spread of AA to be something of far greater importance than the weight we could collectively throw back of any other cause. 12 Steps, 12 Traditions, page 177. How much did it mean to me that an unbroken tradition of more than half a century is a thread that connects me to Bill W. and Dr. Bob? How much more grounded I feel to be in a fellowship whose aims are constant and unflagging. I am grateful that the energies of AA have never been scattered, but focused instead on our members and our individual sobriety. My beliefs are what we make. Oh my God. Can you read, Tom? My beliefs are what make me a human. I am free to hold any opinion, but AA's purpose, so clearly stated 50 years ago, is for me to keep sober. That purpose has promoted round-the-clock meeting schedules and the thousands of intergroups and central offices with thousands of volunteers like the sun focused through a magnifying glass. AA's single vision has lit a fire of faith and sobriety in millions of hearts, including mine. Wow. That's some statement, right? You know, it is interesting to me that we don't talk about Serenity. I mean, we mention it, we do talk about it, but we don't say, all right, now having, you know, we need to work these steps because what we're looking for is serenity. Because then I'm not sure if self gets involved, right? You know, my buddy asked me, when do I find a higher power? And I said, as soon as you stop searching, right? And I was listening to this song. I don't know if it's in the song that I'm playing today or another song, but in the words it says, how do you fix something that's meant to be broken? You know, as humans, I think we are broken, right? We started off broken. That whole, you know, Adam and Eve and the serpent, right? We got broken on that day, right? I'm not, you know, don't quote me on that, but things, we had a choice, right? That wraps up my life in a nutshell, right? When I'm in my relationship, right, with the serpent, I can't say no. And it looks like she fell for it too, and they both fell for it, right? And so that sort of set us on this thing. So we are broken, right? I don't know if we can fix everything. You know, there's days that I feel like I'm doing really well, and there's days that I feel like I'm really struggling. I mean, I'm not drinking, but I'm also not happy, right? I'm full of fear, and I'm full of self, and it's not much I can do about it. And this is, it's just sort of the way it is, right? We'll never be perfect. We just have to keep doing our best, right? And, but I can manage fear. And at least when I started to recognize it, it made things a lot different. And I'm very grateful for that. Yeah. I don't know. Just had to sit down and get this out. Had to keep it moving. I'm very, very grateful for this podcast, and I get to sit down and share. And it's funny. I have a bunch of people sending me music. I guess nobody said, hey, can you put this in the podcast? But I keep getting a lot of music, which I really like. But the problem is that I like picking the music. Right. I dig. I have a feeling there's going to be a few Creed songs coming up because Creed has such a great message. And, you know, like that song, how can you fix something that's meant to be broken? You can't. You just keep working, right? And it's sort of the task that at hand for us because we'll never be perfect. We're always a work in progress, and we should be grateful for that. So I hope everyone's having a great day. I appreciate you letting me share. If you've missed the podcast, I apologize. I'm going to try to get back after it. I think my voice is better. I made it through this, but who knows? But hey, have a great day. Later.